Hi, this is Amanda Somerville, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
What's going on, everyone? This is Eric Woody with Sonic Perspectives, welcoming you to yet another brand new episode of our interview and podcast series. Today's guest is a singer and songwriter known for collaborating with many acclaimed metal bands throughout the years, such as Ed Guy, Camelot, Avantasia, and Epica, just to name a few. As well as working and recording with other bands, she is also lead vocalist for the heavy metal band Trillium, whose latest album Tectonic has just been released this month of June 2018. And to shed some light on the new album, we have invited none other than Amanda Somerville. How's it going, Amanda?
Hi, Eric. It's going well, thanks. How about with yourself?
Doing good. I'm doing good.
Now, where are you right now, actually?
I live in South Carolina.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I heard a little bit of twang.
Yeah.
It's awfully early for you.
Yeah, it is. I actually have to head to work in about 30 minutes, so, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, hey, I won't beat around the bush.
No, it's fine. just to get this interview started, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your earlier influences, how you got started as a singer and a songwriter?
Yeah, sure. Well, I quite simply just grew up in a musical family. My dad's a folk singer-songwriter. He played in a trio. He's played in the same trio, actually, for, my goodness, 60 years, just about. And they still, every once in a while, play together, but kind of like Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, that kind of stuff. So I grew up with a lot of folk music. My dad was also a fan of Harry Chapin and John Denver and kind of that route. And then came my mom. She plays the flute and saxophone and a little bit of piano and sings. And she is more of the hard rock and jazz influence that I've got. So she tells me stories about when she was in college and listening to Jimi Hendrix on the phone drinking, or on the headphones drinking strawberry wine. So she was a little bit of a hippie as well. And my grandmother's a classical singer and piano player. She taught me how to play piano and read music. And my great uncle used to play with Sammy Davis Jr. out in Las Vegas and Reno. So it was just like, and everybody else has something to do with music as well. Those are just a few examples. But so I just, you know, my mom said I was singing before I was talking. And so there was never a point where, you know, I can tell you I thought, oh, I want to be a musician or be a singer. It was always from day one just for me as natural as breathing. So. It's no wonder that I'm here speaking with you about my music today.
Right, and you know, the reason why I ask is because, you know, most of your works and collaborations are in the metal genre, but your solo albums are more kind of on the pop side. So
Kind of singer songwriter folky pop, more or less. And that's because of that's kind of how I grew up. But it was a very eclectic mix, let's say that. And then the metal, just happened upon it. It was a funny thing. I won an internet contest way back when from NBC.com. That was like when dot-coms were just getting, you know, really established. Like, it was in 2000. And I was going to be flown out to San Diego to open for Coco Taylor, the legendary, late legendary blues singer. And I didn't have anything recorded at that point. And the bass player, the German bass player I was working with at the time, we were just a little trio. And he said, hey, my ex-brother-in-law owns a music studio. Maybe we can record some stuff there. That ended up being Sasha Pate, the producer with whom I've worked for ever since then for a long, long time. And he liked what I was doing. Sorry, I'm winding up the music mobile here for my twins. Yeah, he liked what I was doing. He's like, hey, I've got this project that I'm doing with this Brazilian singer. Yeah, he's part of a band. You probably haven't heard of him, called Angra. And we're doing this thing called Virgo. You want to sing some songs with me? And then he remixed some of my songs. And then he called me up and said, hey, I've got this this Dutch label that wants me to write a metal opera. And I really, you know, writing lyrics and stories and all that is not my thing. Do you want to write a metal opera? And that was really my foot in the door into this whole metal scene. I had not done anything. I mean, I had no idea who... you know, Tobias Zammit was, or Arian, or any of that, all of this, you know, I just came in contact with, and it was just all happenstance. And since then, of course, it has become a huge part of my life and my career and my musical style. And, it's not that I've necessarily switched over to metal, but, I've adopted that facet, and it kind of adopted me.
Oh, nice. Well, you mentioned the working on a metal opera and Tobias Zammit. I understand you worked with Avantasia, I think, back in 2016. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Oh, well, I've been part of Avantasia since 2008, since the very first time that Toby took this live. And actually, Toby sang on my metal opera, Ina, the story of Ina, that I ended up writing with Sasha and the Gate Studio team. So that was how Toby and I first met. And then we all kind of hit it off. And Sasha started producing Edguy. And that's when Toby had the idea to bring Avantasia kind of back to life. And really, he came out with Scarecrow, which Sasha produced. And we were all a part of. And then he decided to take it on the road. And it was a really kind of crazy idea at the time, and very risky, and it really worked. So since 2008, we've been touring with that worldwide, and it's been a blast. It's a great kind of family experience. It's almost like we're all out on a field trip together, escaping from the studio for a while. It turned into something really big, and something that we have continued to do since then. And it's a great time.
Oh, nice. And I think back in 2016, that was the first time Avantasia performed in the States, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, can you tell us a little bit about what that was like, you know, how the crowd reacted to you guys and everything?
Oh, it was great. We played Toronto, New York, and LA. So we had three North American gigs, two in the States. And they welcomed, you know, I was proud of my home turf, because, you know, Avantasia was welcomed with open arms, and the response was great. People were super enthusiastic and happy that finally, after, you know, so many years, that we finally landed on American soil. So, and it was awesome for me, because I'm the only American part of the troupe. Well, that's been part of the troupe since, you know, for so long, since we started playing live. Of course, Eric Martin is part of it, and so I'm no longer the only American in the group. But it was great to be back on home soil.
Okay, cool. And you know, as well as Avantasia, you've also collaborated with many acclaimed musicians over the years. Is there any band in particular you really enjoyed working with?
You know, everybody brings a different style and a different set of positive aspects to the table. I'm not necessarily one to play favorites, and one is yeah, they all have something special. And I love working with different bands and different people anyway, because you always learn something new. You know, as long as I've been making music, it never ceases to amaze me how awesome an experience of a new collaboration is, and you know, what you can learn from it. So I think you should never have the stance that, like, I've been there, done that, I know it all, you know, whatever. Even seasoned pros can learn something new. So everybody's been, of course, Avantasia is something that is special to me, because it's kind of like, for me, the home team. I don't live in Wolfsburg anymore, where the Gate Studio is located, but it's still, it was my first European home there. And so there's a special connection with that. And I would say I'm probably most intensely involved with that project as well. So yeah, I'm really fortunate to have all these different people to work with and all these different experiences.
Right, and you're known primarily mostly as, you know, a singer and a songwriter, but you're also a vocal coach. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's like?
Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of vocal coaching in the last few years. Been focusing more on my own music, but I did, you know, that same record company that I mentioned that called Zasha up and wanted us to write a metal opera, they had a couple of bands on their roster that they asked me to work with as well. And that ended up being Epica and After Forever. And the label just felt that the singers could use a little bit of help. And they liked what I had done with Aina. I had kind of come up with my own language for the project. And I recorded a boys choir in London. And I was like teaching them how to, you know, sing this language that I had come up with for the metal opera. And the label thought, hey, you know, actually you would be great. You're a native English speaker and everything. Vocally and everything, they wanted me to coach the singers for Epica and After Forever. So that's what I did. I coached Simona Simons for a long time, I think for five albums. Four albums, I'm not sure, and also co-wrote their songs with them. I wrote a lot of their lyrics, and also Flora Jansson, who's now in Nightwish, coached her for several albums. So yeah, and a lot of other people and bands along the way. But like I said, it's something that I've kind of gotten away from doing because I've felt more and more comfortable performing myself in the genre, and so that's kind of how that came to be.
Oh, okay, cool. And you also have a project with Michael Kiske called Kiske Somerville. Can you tell us a little bit about that project, you know, how it came to be and what the experience was like working with Kiske?
Yeah, well, Michael and I worked together also in Avantasia, but before he was touring, before he came on board to tour with Avantasia, we did the first album, the Kiske Somerville album, together in 2010, I think it was. And I think it was the end of 2009. Nah, but we recorded the videos in March 2010. Yeah, okay, so it did come out in 2010. Sorry, I do so many things. I have to go back and check the timeline. Hang on, I've got a little girl that's unhappy right now. I got to wind her mobile back. Sorry, I'm a musician and everything, but I'm also a mom. I just had twins in January, and
Wow.
So yeah, I'm juggling that as well. And I have a 2.5-year-old toddler, so yeah, it's never boring at my household. Frontiers, the label boss of Frontiers Records, that's based in Italy, he's a big fan of Michael Kiske, and so he wanted to have a project featuring him and put it in a duo setting. And they apparently liked what I did, contacted me, asked if I'd be interested in being the other half of the duo. And yeah, I thought it was a great idea. I really liked the songs, and it was also important to me to be creatively involved. So I also wrote three songs for that first album together with my husband. And yeah, we had a blast making it. We met face to face for the first time at the video shoot, and yeah, hit it off, had a great time, and I told him all about Avantasia. Toby said, "Hey, you got to put in a good word. I'm trying to get Michael to come on tour with us." So yeah, and then he ended up doing the tour with us in 2010 as well, later on at the end of the year. So and it's a great melodic rock project. I really enjoy it. It's also something different, different from all the other stuff that I do. So yeah, and I mean he's a legend. There's, it's not for nothing that he's a legend. So it's really fun getting to sing with him and listening to how those songs develop and unfold. Oh, I've got a very unhappy little girl here. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's not like you got your hands
That's
full.
totally not rock and roll, Juliet.
All right, well, now on to the new Tectonic album. Since the album took, 7 years to release after the debut album, can you tell us what the songwriting process was like for this one?
Yeah, we started writing a little bit right after the last album had come out, actually. We were doing a lot of I was doing a lot of touring with Trillium, and then it was yeah, for one of the last tours that I did, right before we were going on a tour, I got a horrible phone call that my very good friend and keyboard player had committed suicide. And that yeah, that was a big shock, and yeah, put the end to the touring on there a little bit. We had some more things planned, and I went ahead with that. I did not end up replacing him. I'd never wanted to work with tapes, having the keys on there, which is what most metal bands do. They have like choirs and keyboards, extra instruments, and all kinds of things while they're performing. And I never wanted to do that. Trillium was always just a purely live band. And but I just couldn't bring myself to replace Simon. And so we finished out the live dates without him. And then I started writing a few songs for the next album. And then this came up, and that came up, and this project and that project. And 7 years later, here we are, finally with Tectonic, with the release. But I've done a whole lot of stuff in those 7 years. I got married, I had three kids. I started another band called Exit Eden. We brought some albums out. I had another Kiss Kiss Somerville record come out. Released HDK with my husband. Did a lot of touring with Rock Meets Classic and with Avantasia. And then, so songs that I had started writing for this album kind of got put on hold, and some got delegated for other projects along the way. So I really started focusing, like really, with the specific end goal in mind, on Tectonic, the fall of 2016, I would say. And then I was kind of balancing that with family life, and then last year I found out I was pregnant with twins, so that deadline got pushed back even farther. So yeah, it's the whole like life is what happens, when you make plans
right
or while you're making plans, and God laughs. something like that. But I would say it was a good 2 years though to get this album finished and out to everyone. But I'm so glad that it's done, and I'm really, really happy and really excited with it and how it turned out. And couldn't be happier.
Yeah, you know, I actually got to listen to it over the past few days. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was quite the labor of love. And Sander and I were really proud that we were able to do it pretty much just the two of us the whole way. Of course, we had Andre Borgman on drums, and who is a former colleague of Sander's from After Forever. And Eric Van Ittersom did the keyboards. He worked with us also on HDK, on the last HDK album. And friends of mine from my hometown in Flint, Michigan, also played on it, who are part of my live band. Paul Osinski played a little bit of guitar on the album, and Mark Bernash played bass. And a friend of mine, Ashley Peacock, also wrote a song with us called Nocturna on the album. So a lot of insider family, you know, involvement, which I'm big on.
All right. And was the songwriting handled primarily by you, or did everybody kind of pitch in?
No, it's pretty much Sander and me. We do all the songwriting. And sorry, Juliet is cracking up here. My little rattle owl. At least she's not crying anymore.
right.
But, Sander and I, it's pretty much my project. I mean, it's me alone. We're not necessarily a band, for creative purposes, which is, sometimes tough because, I really have to be the one, that is lighting the fire under my own ass. Excuse my pardon me for saying so, but I'm not the greatest in time management. So, especially because I have so many other things going on at once,
right.
At any given time. Sander did an awesome job writing most of the instrumental stuff. Usually he would, come up with an instrumental demo and say, hey, what do you think about this? And then we would sit down, work some stuff out, work out the arrangements. Or sometimes I came to him with a piano vocal demo, and he would work on it from there. So it was all a little bit different, but he and I did most everything together. And the last song of the album, Eternal Spring, is a ballad that I wrote together with the former bass player of Epica, Eve Hutz. And then Nocturna, like I mentioned, we wrote together with my friend Ashley Peacock. And everything else was just Sander and me.
Oh, okay, nice. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but, we're almost out of time here, so unfortunately I'm going to have to go soon. If there's anything, you wanted to say to the fans listening, anything about the album or the band, the floor's all yours.
Well, just that, this is, for me anyway, the pinnacle of my career and my songwriting and performing and everything. This is a really, really challenging album to write and to perform and to get out, to bring out to you finally. So we're getting a lot of great reviews, and people seem to like it. We were number one on the hard rock charts for new releases on Amazon right after it came out and everything. So people are liking it. And I poured everything that I've got into it, all my emotions. It's a very emotional album, but it's a very positive album. It's a lot more positive anyway than what Alloy was, which was a very restless and dark album, I think. But this one is it rocks. It's really heavy, there's a positive message there. So I think people are gonna like it that are familiar with my stuff that I've done in the past, and maybe new fans too.
All right, awesome. I hope the album continues to do well, And I want to wish you good luck with all your other future projects and releases, and hopefully we won't have to wait another 7 years for the next Trillium album.
I can't make any promises, but I'll try my best.
Awesome. Well, Amanda, really thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're very welcome, Eric. Thank you so much for your interest, and you take care.
Awesome. Yeah.
Have a good day at work.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there you have it, folks. That was our chat with singer Amanda Somerville. I sincerely hope you all enjoyed listening. Once again, my name is Eric Woody, reviewer, interviewer, and contributor with Sonic Perspectives. Feel free to use any of the links below to subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel, and to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get notified about the new content we publish on a daily basis. I'm going to be signing off now, but before I go, I'll be leaving you guys with a song from Trillium's recently released album, Tectonic. This is the track, Time to Shine. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see y'all later. Take care.
My time to shine.